פסיק חובו בן חוב זיין הוא ארי ומוישה אשר הוא מעד השם להם הוציאו אז בישראל מארץ מצרים על ציווי סון הם הדברים על פרי מלך מצרים להציא אז בישראל ממצרים הוא מוישה בארץ. We have an apparent superfluity of two psukim. First, in Pasuk Chavov, the Torah mentions Hu Arim Umeishi Asher Om Adishem Lohem Hu Tziu Ez Bnei Yisroel Me'aratz Mitzrayim Al Tzedei Son. And then again, Heim Am Dabrim El Parim Melech Mitzrayim Lehitzi Ez Bnei Yisroel Me'aratz Hu Moishe Ba'at. Why again? And it is remarkable that in Pasuk Chavov, Arim Umeishi are mentioned, Arim is mentioned first, and Moshe second. In Pasuk Chof Zayin, Aaron and Moshe are mentioned, and Moshe is mentioned first, and Aaron second. Why? So, the Midrash Rabbe discusses it, and Rashi cites it. Yesh mikei meishe magdim Aaron and Moshe, v'yesh mikei meishe magdim Moshe v'Aaron, leim aloch shesh kolin kechot. The reason is why, in Pasuk Chavov, Aaron is mentioned before Moshe, and Pasuk Chof Zayin, Moshe is mentioned before Aaron to advise us that they are both equal. What does it mean, they are both equal? In other words, Aaron was as great as Moshe? That we couldn't say. The Rambam says in the Pirush HaMishneh that one of the ikrim of the Torah is not only that Moshe Rabbeinu was superior to all other Nevi'im and Nevu'im, but also, the Rambam spells it out, that Moshe Rabbeinu has attained the greatest perfection in the Malas Amidias, in ethical virtues, and the Malas Asichlias, and in intellectual faculties, more than any other person in the world before him or after him. And the Rambam mentions it as Yisod Yadus. So how can we say that Aaron was shokokit like Moshe? You couldn't say that. Aaron was very great. But, like Moshe, no one's like Moshe. He was Adin Al-Kulam, Adin Anvim. And he attained the maximum perfection that any human being ever attained or will ever attain. When the Rambam discusses the ideal virtues of the Melech HaMashiach, so the Rambam says he'll be called the Meishi in certain traits. Called the Meishi. Couldn't say like Meishi. So how could the Medrash say that Milami James Kuhn? But the Medrash is not trying to equate the personality of Moshe or the personality of Aaron with the personality of Moshe. Moshe was superior to everyone. Superior to the office, superior to Aaron, superior to all the Nevi'im. But the Medrash says in Shmoyz and the Posik, Vayimer Adishem el Aaron, Leich lekras Moshe ha-midbor, Vayilech vayivgisheu behar el Yitzim, Vayishach. Hadov dechsit, Chesed ve-emes nifkosh, Tzedek vishorim nashom. Chesed ze Aaron, Emes ze Moshe. Tzedek ze Moshe, Shalom ze Aaron. So when Moshe and Aaron met, it was an integration between the Midas personified by Moshe. What Midas did Moshe Rabbeinu personify? Tzedek and Emes. That doesn't mean that Moshe Rabbeinu did not have Chesed and Shalom. And it does not mean that Aaron did not have Tzedek and Emes. But Moshe Rabbeinu is the personification of Tzedek and Emes. Aaron is the personification of Chesed and Shalom. So, in order, so the Hashgoche manipulated that in order that the Gulas Mitzrayim should take place, there must first be a rendezvous between Moshe and Aaron, and thereby form an integration between the Midas that constituted Moshe's personality, Tzedek and Emes, and the Midas that constituted Aaron's personality, Chesed and Shalom. without this synthesis between Chesed and Emes on one end and Tzadik and Sholem on the other, there couldn't be Geulas Mitzrayim, Geulas Yisrael. So Mimele, the Torah tells us, Hu Agenu Meishe, Asher Omer Ad Hashem Lohem, Hu Yitziu Ez Bnei Yisrael Me'aretz Mitzrayim Orti Veisa. Heim Am Dabrim No Parim Melech Mitzrayim, Lehetzi Ez Bnei Yisrael Bnei Mitzrayim, Hu Moishe Ve'are. We raise the question, there is an apparent superfluity of two psuki. Posik Chavov and Posik Chav Zayin are expressive of the same idea. No! The two psukim are expressive of two separate missions that Moshe and Aaron had. They were both the messengers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to effect the redemption of the Israelites from Mitzrayim. But they had a twofold mission. First of all, they had the mission to negotiate with Pharaoh, with the city of Israel, with the enemies of the Jewish people, with those who smite Jews because they are Jews. There's a difference between a Jewish Roshe, even if he's a Roshe Gomor, like Dosan Vaviro, Chazal characterized that Heber Rishosam Mitchilosam Vatseifom, even such Roshoim, there is a difference, there is a big lahadu between the riches of Dosan Vaviro and the riches of Fare. Because when Dosan Vaviro carry out riches, it's general riches. When Pari carried out riches, it is riches of Amalekios. So, Meshe Ba'arei had a double mission. One mission was to negotiate with the Seine Israel, with Pari, with those who are determined to smite and to kill and to destroy Jews because they are Jews, for no other reason. And then, so that is mentioned in Posik Chav Zayin. Heim ha-medabrim el parei melech Mitzrayim lehitzi ez ne Yisroel mi Mitzrayim hu Meshavah. That was one mission that was imposed upon Meshavah. Another mission, a more difficult mission, a more difficult task, by far more difficult task, was imposed upon Meshavah to deal with the Israelites themselves. That was even more difficult. As Moshe Rabbeinu himself said it, "Hadaber Moshe lifnei Hashem leimer, hein bnei Yisrael yishomru elai, ve'eich yishmaim yifarei, v'ani aral sosoyim." So the Medrash Loishi Mushtayim of Rabbi Yisi says that's one of the kalvachimers of the Torah. And this is the kalvachimer not of Yalfuse. In the Shurim I mentioned that there are two kinds of kalvachimer. There is a kalvachimer of Yalfuse, and there is a kalvachimer of logic. That's not a kalvachimer of logic. That's a kalvachimer of Yalfuse. From the point of view of logic, so it does not necessarily follow. But it's a kalvachimer of Yalfuse. This kalvachimer, the price of Rabbi Shmuel doesn't mention this kalvachimer. The price of Rabbi Yisi mentions it. This is a kalvachimer of logic. And we don't find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave an answer to Moshe Rabbeinu's query. Yes, how can I deal? How can I prevail and negotiate with Farei? I can't even talk with the Israelites themselves. They don't hearken to me. Rabbeinu Shimon did not give any answer. What is the answer? The answer is, from the point of view of logic, Moshe Rabbeinu was right. It's impossible. It's impossible to accomplish something with Parei if it is so difficult to accomplish with our own brothers. But the destiny of the Jewish people throughout the ages has not followed any rules of logic. The destiny and the history of the Jewish people throughout the ages has defied logic. All the ages, including this age. But that was the mission that was imposed upon Moshe and Aaron to deal with Pharaoh, the same in Israel, and also to deal with the Israelites. It's very difficult, but they had a double mission. So Posik Chav Zayin is expressive of the task and the mission imposed upon Moshe Rabbeinu to deal and negotiate with Paray and the Mitzrayim with the city of Israel. So there, Moshe is mentioned first, and Aaron is mentioned second. It's not a question of the personalities of Moshe and the personalities of Aaron, but it's a question of the midas that constitute, that Moshe personifies, and the midas that Aaron personifies. Which midas does Moshe personify? The midas of Tzedek and Emes. Which midas does Aaron personify? The midas of Chesed and Sholem. Of course, there has to be Chesed, even in our relationship with Pharaoh. There has to be some Chesed. Even in our relationship with the Sadat, there has to be some Chesed. But the predominant rule is Tzedek and Emes. Moshe comes first and Ari second. But Posik Chavov is expressive of the mission and the task imposed upon Moshe Behari to deal with the Israelites themselves. And in dealing with the Israelites themselves, we also have to resort to Tzedek and Emes and Chesed and Sholem. But in vis-a-vis the Israelites, so there the predominant rule is not Tzedek, not Emes, but the predominant rule is Chesed and Sholem. That's the reason as to why in Posik Chavov, which is expressive of the mission imposed upon Moshe Aaron to deal with the Israelites, Aaron's midas are mentioned first, and then Moshe's. But in Posik Chav Zayin, that is expressive of the mission and task imposed upon Moshe Aaron to deal with Pharaoh and the Egyptians, so Moshe's midas are emphasized, and first, and then Aaron's. We have, but even in Posik Chav Zayin, where the task of dealing with Pharaoh and the city of Israel is discussed, so Aaron is mentioned, but Aaron is mentioned second. That, I think, is the great blunder that Menachem Begin committed, that in his relationship with Sadat, so he made the media of Chesed the predominant midah, and Tzedek and Emes a subsidiary midah. That was the great wonder that was committed by Menachem Begin. And that is the reason as to why he decided to save the life of Sadat from the hands of the Libyan dictator. Why did he have to do it? The intelligence servants in Israel found out that there is an attempt being made by the dictator of Libya, Qaddafi, whatever his name is, together with the help of certain superior officers in Egypt, to assassinate Sadat. He should have followed the halacha of Shevatai Zoadiv. Mordechai saved the life of Achashverosh from the hands of two would-be assassins, because Achashverosh was the melech of the land in which Mordechai lived. But why is Sadat better than the Libyan dictator? Why did he commit this blunder? Because he emphasized the midah of Chesed and Sholem in over and above the midah of Tzedek and Emes in the relationship with the city of Israel, in the relationship in connection with the Egyptian dictator, the Egyptian Pharaoh. And that's the reason as to why Israel is suffering. So this is the lesson that the Torah teaches us in Shmeis and in Vayera, that while the principle of Tzedek is to be applied equally to Jews and non-Jews alike, as Rabbi Mechaya says, Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirdei, one Tzedek Le'Yisrael and one Tzedek Le'Akum, but in connection with the non-Jews who are persecuting and smiting the Jew because he's a Jew. There cannot be any tzedek, only strict justice. Emes. Unadulterated emes. I would like to discuss on the Hashkofa level something in the Seder of Bo, because this week is between Vayero and Bo. And as I said, I intended to give a Yahrzeit shiur on my mother's Yahrzeit, but I wasn't able because of the weather. So the halacha is the halacha that I expected to say 2 weeks ago on Chof Teves. But the Hashkofa will be on Shmois, Vayero, and Bo. And what I'm going to say is just a supplement to this concept of Mishpot and Tzedek. I would like to discuss the Indian of Pidyon Prayer. That's at the end of Boy. Vayhi ki shofar l'shalchenu, vayarek ad Hashem kol prayer be'aretz Mitzrayim, mi'prirodom bat prayer behemo, al kein ani zeveach lad Hashem kol petarechem asforim, v'chol prayer bonayem. Pidyon prayers. We are mechuyim to be paid a pro. And how is one paid a pro? He gives 5 sloyim to the king. Now, the quintessence of pidyon can very well be understood in other yoni, because pidyon means that you redeem one thing for another. Pidyon hekdeshes, pidyon ma'aseh. So that means if you have hekdesh and then you put him at bay here and you are paying the hekdesh on at bay. So the kedusha of the hekdesh is poka and it's a schar on at bay. But what does it mean? Pidyon prayers. And this is also pidyon. It's not just a mitzvah of giving 5 sloyim to the kohen. If the Kavonah Sator had been just a chet of giving 5 sloyim to the kohen, so the Torah should say that we have to pay 5 sloyim to the kohen. No. V'chol prayer bonai evde. V'chol prayer odom b'vonecho tivde. So what does it mean we are paid the pro? We give the 5 sloyim, so what? So the kedusha from the pro is poka, and it is chal of the 5 sloyim. It's not so. But whenever we have pidyon, so pidyon or kefer, the same thing, kefer or pidyon, so we have a deflection from one concept to another. Now, pidyon and kefer are similar to each other. Now the Torah says has a parasha of kefer in Mishpatim. V'imshir nagachu mitleil shilshe, v'hu ad bivolov, v'lo yishmerani, v'heim is isho yisho, hasher yisokeil, v'gam biolov yumus. In kefer yushasolo, v'nosan piti nafshe, kichol asher yushasolo. So the Torah says gam biolov yumus. What does it mean gam biolov yumus? B'dei shamayim. But is it chayim misim shamayim? No, it's not chayim misim shamayim. The kefer takes off the chayim misim shamayim. There is a machlokes between Reb Nezre. There is a machlokes between Reb Nezre and Rashi. What is the aloche if a sheyer nagoch kills a human being, so he has to pay kefer? Suppose he doesn't pay him. So then, from Rashi's, from the Rashbam, I mean, between the Nezer and the Rashbam. Rashi is also much more like the Rashbam, but Rashi doesn't say it explicitly. So, according to the Rashbam and the Torah, if the owner of the sheir who killed the human being does not pay the kefer, then he's mamish chayiv misli shamayim. So, he only removes the chayiv misli shamayim by paying the kefer. The Venezra says, even if the owner of the Shianago, who killed a human being, does not pay the kefir, he's still not chayiv misli shamayim. But the Torah says in so many words, the Asher Yisokel Gambol of Yumos, so Gambol of Yumos, the Venezra says, means Rovieshumas. I heard from my father, the Chemil Broche, that he heard from Reb Chaim that if the Rashbam didn't say that, one would have to say like the Venez. Putli Mistaga, to say like the Rashbam. So what does that mean, according to the Venez, right? Hashem is Sokel Gambo, if he must, he should be Chayim B'Zeh Shemayim, but he is not Chayim B'Zeh Shemayim. Why not? Because he is Mechuyev Geir. So the machlokes between the Rashbam and the Nezra is on the question, what removes the chiyuv b'zeh shemayim? According to the Rashbam, so the tashlumim of the kefer, the payment of the kefer, removes the chiyuv b'zeh shemayim. According to the Nezra, not the tashlumim, but the chiyuv. If there hadn't been a chiyuv, then there would be a chiyuv b'zeh shemayim. But since there is a chiyuv, even if it doesn't fulfill the chiyuv, so the chiyuv b'zeh shemayim is removed. So, what does it mean? Rol Yisumas. What do you mean Rol? But the Torah says no! So, obviously, here we have a deflection from the concept of Mishpat to the concept of Tzedek. Mishpat and Tzedek are both grounded in righteous indignation, in the sense for justice. But Mishpat represents strict justice. Mishpat represents the justice that has to be done to the aggrieved power without considering the hardships of the situation, the hardship of the aggressor, the hardship of the community at large. Tzedek takes into account not only the rights of the aggrieved party, but of the plaintiff, but also the hardships of the defendant and the hardships of the community at large. Now, there is a certain Gemara in Bava Kamma, a remarkable Gemara. Bava Kamma daf this one. Itma, Palganiske, Rav Pope Omar Momene, Rav Vune Brit Rav Yeshua Imeir Knossi, Rav Pope Omar Momene, Kosova, Stam Shvorim, Lav Cheska Shimakai, Uvidin Hubi Doyelish, Diboyelish Muli, Vishlume Kule. Rachmone hu dechos alei, da akate l'ayitu. So Rapope says that pachot zinezek is mommy. And bidinu, why? Because Rapope holds that some shvorim lav v'ches kashimokai. Because the average axe is ferocious. So memele, bidinu, so actually the owner of the axe who committed damage, who got for the first time, should pay whole damages. But the Torah had compassion. Why? Because the axe as yet was not addicted to God. Kavune Berit Rav Yishuel says, Knossi, Kosova Stam Shmorim Chet Kashimakai. Because the average axe, according to Kavune Berit Rav Yishuel, is presumed not ferocious, not dangerous. So Bidini would only shalom klal. So according to the deen, he shouldn't pay at all, not even have damages. But Rachmon would can't say, but the Torah penalized him, imposed a penalty upon the owner of the Sheol Tam in order that he should be induced to guard the axe. What does it mean? One Mandoma says that Bidinu Diboy Nishlume Kulei, and the other Mandoma says Bidinu Diboy Nishalimfal. What if? Who is the mocker of the deen? The Torah is the mocker of the deen. The Torah tells us that the owner of a shared town pays only half damages. So how can Rapope say, Bedin, according to the deen, he should pay whole damages? And how can Rapope say, according to the deen, according to the pure deen, he should not pay at all? What does it mean? Which deen? The deen is the deen of Torah. And the Torah says, according to both, that he pays half damages. But here we have an example of a deflection from the concept of Mishpat to the concept of Tzedek. Mishpat takes notice of the rights of the plaintiff. Somebody was aggrieved, he is entitled to certain remedies. And Mishpat, pure Mishpat, strict justice, does not take into account the inconvenience that might result to society at large. And true, pure Mishpat, strict justice, does not take into account the hardships that that the defendant might sustain. If somebody is mazik, he has to pay, regardless of the consequences. That's pure mishpat. Tzedek takes into account everything. The hardships sustained by the defendant and the inconvenience that might result to the community at large. So Rav Pope says, Paul Yaniske is Momain. Stam Shmoy Lavachet Geshem Yatayim. Because the owner of a Shiatam is not considered negligent. Because the average axe is not dangerous. He's not negligent. He's not culpably negligent. So Memele, from the point of view of Mishpat, of pure justice, he should pay whole. So Slavachet Geshem Yatayim. Rav Pope holds that the average axe is ferocious. So Memele, from the point of view of pure justice, of strict justice, from the point of view of Mishpat, he should pay whole damages. He's negligent, he has to pay. So he'll sustain a hardship, so what? But the Rachmonim, who the Chosal? So then the Torah deflects from the concept of pure Mishpat to Tzedek. And the Torah takes notice of the hardship that will be sustained by the defendant. He is negligent, but he's not so wicked. He's not so culpably negligent. After all, he's only a human being, and every human being makes mistakes. So the Torah has consideration, and the Torah has compassion, and the Torah deflects from Mishpat to Tzedek on account of the hardship, the undue hardship that will be sustained by the defendant, by the owner of the Shiatam. And because of that, the Torah imposes upon him only half damages. Rabbi Brid Rav Yeshua Omar Knose Kosova Stam Shmorim Becheskashim Okaime. The average axe is non-ferocious, and he is not negligent in any way. So actually, from the point of view of Mishpat, he wasn't negligent. Why should he pay? But what will be the result? What will be the consequences to the community at large if the owner of the Sheir Tam will not pay penny? So then no one will be induced to exercise special care over his acts. So who will suffer? The community will suffer. There will be so many victims. So again, here that according to Avnei Brit Avishua, the Torah reflected from the concept of pure Mishpat to Tzedek by taking notice of the hardship that will be sustained by community at large if pure justice were to be found. So, this is the pshat, according to the Ben Ezra. In Keifa Yushas Olov, actually, if we can be all of humus, from the point of view of strict justice, if someone has a share on wit, so he's certainly culpably negligent. He's a mitzvah! He should be chayiv mizeh shamayim. But the Torah took notice of the frailties that overtake every human being. Every human being. Every human being can be nichshol. And because of that, the Torah deflected from the concept of pure justice, of midas hadin hakoshe, that should apply to him, into tzedek. And the Torah mentioned the halacha of keifer. So when do we have keifer? Whenever there is a deflection from mishpat to tzedek. Now there is a very strange Meir Nevuchim. The Rambam in Meir Nevuchim Chilek Shlishi Perik Lamalev, in discussing Taina Mitzvahs. So he mentions the halacha of Ayin Tachas Ayin. So the Rambam says in the Levuchim, "Umi shehishris eiver me'abdin lo ikemeise, kasher yitei mum biodom ken yinosem be." If somebody mutilates a person and removes an eiver from another person, so the same thing should be done to him. Because the Torah says, "Kasher yitei mum biodom ken yinosem be." So then the Rambam proceeds, "Val tatri des machshavtecho b'meshon reishim kam b'tashlumim." But you'll ask, but Allah is not like that. Ayin tachasayin is not mamesh. Ayin tachasayin is mamey. So the Rambam gives the answer, "Ki akavon ato lo se istam limikrois loy b'kintam taimim l'tira shebalpe." So in this Meir Nevuchim, so the self-appointed intellectuals found the Mitzvah, because in their stupidity they assumed that the Rambam here defies the Torah Shebaal Peh. But the question is, what does the Rambam mean? The Rambam explains in the third book of the Meir Nevuchim, he explains time and mitzvahs. So he mentions the term for the Gzeras HaKosuv of Ayin Tachasai. So he says, it's only just, from the point of view of justice, it is only fair that there should be such a principle, as it is called, Lex Talionis. In other words, if somebody removes an eiver from one person, so that same thing should be done to him. But then he asks, but the Gemara says the time tachasayin is money. So he says, our purpose here is to explain the timing of the Tira Shebaal Peh, not to explain the time of the Tira Shebaal Peh. What does it mean, Chas V'Shalom? Because the Tira Shebaal Peh, that's the pshat of the Tira Shebaal Peh. There is no other Tira Shebaal Peh except what the Torah Shebaal Peh says, that the Torah Shebaal Peh says. But we can understand this Rambam in Meir Nevuchim by just considering a certain halachah in the Rambam in Perek Aleph, Hilchos Chilul Mazik, halachah Gimel. The Rambam in Perek Aleph, Hilchos Chilul Mazik, halachah Gimel, says as follows. Zeh Shenema Bateo. And it's interesting that the Rambam mentions the same pasuk that he mentions in Meir Nevuchim. Zeh Shenema Bateo. כאשר יתאימום באודום, כן ינוסים בי, אין הלכנו בזה כמו שחולו בחבירי, אלא שהוא ראו וחסרי אינגר, או לעבל בי, כאשר עושו, ולפי חוך משל עם עסקים. נדרו איזה טיים תחסיים לזמומים, והרי הוא אי מאיר, ולא יסיק חוקי פעול נפש לצייח, לריצי על בלבד הוא שאין בכיפה, להדגימור המנשנס דת ראשי, אבל לחיסור מבורים או לכבור איסייש בכיפה. So obviously, since the Gemara deduces the halacha that Tayin Tachasayim is moment from the posik of the sick for keifa with nefesh letzeach, the ritzeach will vadu shein bekeifa, aber if it's only vorim will lichvor is yish bekeifa. So the Rambam drew the conclusion from this Gemara that the whole halacha of Tayin Tachasayim moment is by way of keifa. In the same way as the Torah says, according to the Ben Ezra, that v'imshei anagachu mitnul shil shein buad b'bolo v'lo yishmeranu, from the point of view of pure mishpat, of justice. So if the owner of an axe that is addicted to going killed a human being, so he is culpably negligent and he should be considered as a bitzayach, lechol apoches he should be mechuyev, misev nishamayim. It's his fault. His negligence brought about the death of a person. But the Torah says in Kefa Yushasol, so the Torah itself deflected from the concept of pure mishpat to tzedek and to tzedakah, because the Torah took cognizance of the excessive hardship that will be sustained by this defendant. He's culpable negligent, but he too is not so wicked. He has also sparks of humanity in him. He just was foolish, and in his stupidity, he forgot to exercise sufficient care over his eyes. But he is not totally wicked. And because of that, because of the human frailties that overtake every human being, the Torah deflected from pure mishpat to tzedek and to tzedakah. And the Torah declared that even though it's gambol of humos, that he should be chayev miseh, but the there should be a deflection, and the chiyuv kefer should remove the chiyuv miseh. In the same way, the Torah says, "Ayin tachasayin." So, from the point of view of pure mishpat, it should be mamesh. Ayin tachasayin. It should be mamesh, but it isn't, because the Torah tells us we cannot carry out strict justice. We have to couple justice with tzedek, with chesed, with tzedakah, and the mele, by way of kefer, it should be mommy. So the Rambam shita is that ayin tachasayin mommy is by way of kefer. This is what the Rambam means in the Meir Nevuchim. But so he says, he explains the tam amikro, what it should have been from the on the basis of Yom Mishpat. So that has a very good rationale. But weil tatwi des machschafte khoba me shon rein shin kan bit ashlumim ke ata kol ato lo sistam mi kois lo nikin tam mit yosh balpe. I'm trying to explain the pure mishpot that the Torah declares here, because by saying we seek for kingdom and nefesh v'tzeach, the Torah in effect implies that the reason, the only reason as to why I'm tarasayim is moving is by way of kefer. That means that if not for the ear of kefer, if not for the deflection, then if somebody removed the knife from another person, then he is I should be removed. What's the justice in it? So the Rambam explains the justice. Now, so whenever we have kefer, or we have pidyon, so there is a deflection from mishpot to tzedek and to tzedek. Now, this is the quintessence of the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. The Torah says that from the point of view of pure mishpot, so the firstborn of every Jew should be given away to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Beis HaMikdash. The father and mother should not even have custody over the child, over the firstborn. Because it's a fundamental rule in justice that if, let's say, a person is delinquent in the payment of his taxes, and then another person pays the taxes of the delinquent person, so then he is entitled to be reimbursed, to take over the assets of the delinquent person. When the firstborn of the Egyptians perished in the Makas Peres, so the Uzo Sam Mitzrayim said, Haloloi Davi Zore, Vehaloloi Davi Zore. Why is it that the firstborn of the Jews of the Israelites are spared? The Jews are all playing Davi Zore. The Egyptians are guilty. The Jews are equally guilty. And that was the time of Uzo Sam Mitzrayim. But the Rebbeinu Shalom did not accept this plea of Uzo Sar Mitzrayim. Why? Because Chas V'Sholem, Mas Ponim Yimidolo, Chas V'Sholem. But the reason is why the Rebbeinu Shalom rejected the plea, the time of Uzo Sar Mitzrayim, is Al Shem Seifei. Because on account of the sparing of the firstborn among the Israelites, and an account of Yitzias Mitzrayim, and an account of Matan Torah, there will be a better world. So this was indispensable towards the salvation of the whole world. But actually, from the point of view, so Memele, since the Rebbeinu Shalom bestowed such an unusual chesed upon the Israelites in sparing their firstborn, when the firstborn of all the Egyptians perished. So Mele, from the point of view of justice, every Jewish parent should have been obligated at Seif Kol HaDeres to dedicate the firstborn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Aveid and the Beis HaMikdash, and that no parent should be given custody over the firstborn. But the Rebbeinu Shalom had compassion upon the parents. It would be an undue hardship upon the parents to give up the firstborn child and to turn over custody to the Beis HaMikdash, and that he should not be raised by them. He should be raised in the Beis HaMikdash in the same way as Shmuel was raised by Eli. How many Jewish parents would be on the Madrege to do that? To give up custody over the firstborn child? But this was not an act of justice. It was an act of tzedakah and chesed. There is a deflection from the concept of mishpot to the concept of chesed and tzedakah. So whenever the Torah deflects from mishpot to tzedek, from mishpot to tzedakah, so we have kefer, we have pidyon. This is the lesson that the three sedras teach us, that there is mishpot, there is tzedek, and there is tzedakah. and in our relationship with our fellow Jews, even Jews who are Rishonim, even in our relationship with Jews who are on the level, the caliber of Dosan Maviron. So we have to administer a justice that is coupled with tzedek and tzedakah. And the tzedek has to be the predominant norm. But in our relationship with the Sadat, with Sevi Yisrael, with those who try to smite us and to destroy us because we are Jews, there the predominant rule must be mishpat, strict justice, but not chesed.